Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 19, episode 3 of Der Daily Zeitgeist!
Yeah!
For February 22nd, 2018. My name is Jack O'Brien, aka I Won't Deny It. I am Jack O'Brien. You don't wanna fuck with me, Tupac. That is courtesy of Nicholas Spear, at Dead Neb. And I am thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray.
Oh, break me up before you go, go.
Yeah, so that's all I'm going to sing from that. But thank you to Hamchenko, who popped into the IG live yesterday and gave me that AKA. I told you I would use it, and I'm using it now. Unless you're a female. Either way, we are brothers and sisters in arms.
Miles keeps his promises,
keep
Dad.
My promises.
Oh, no. Okay.
Just kidding.
That's another show.
And we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by our old friend, the very funny comedian, Shannon Coffey.
Hootie, where is my song? No one gave me an AKA.
Ooh, I like that.
That was nice, though.
Ooh, yeah. Ooh,
damn. We should just let you go for like
Shannon,
a
Shannon, girl.
Good.
Shannon. 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 Shannon.
Shannon. I wish there was a tiny Michael Jackson on my shoulder just doing that nonstop.
Shannon.
I'm like, I'm sorry, I can't hear you right now.
Shannon. Shannon.
Could you turn off your tiny Michael Jackson for the recording?
I have a feeling this is going to keep happening the whole time, so we might as well just move on.
45 minutes of Michael Jackson. I cannot stop. Yo,
Shannon,
I got to stop drinking this concentrated cold brew.
Shannon, what is something from your search history that is revealing about who you are?
You know what? I realized I recently Googled just like some tips on how to boil broccoli.
Hey.
And you know what? There was like so many articles out there on like helping people like just, you know, feel confident that you're boiling broccoli correctly. And I was like, what does this say about us?
I'm sorry. Feel confident? Like as if you're asking your boss for a raise, kind of like motivational. Like,
exactly.
Don't worry.
Ooh, we see what Miles has been.
Yes, Jack.
Uh-oh.
I've been actually Googling how to not cry during This Is Us.
Impossible.
It's impossible. But this is about me right now.
Okay.
Do
yes.
You, now, when you do this, because I like to make broccoli. It's one of my favorite cruciferous
right?
vegetables.
Good. Steaming is better than cruciferous.
Yeah,
boiling.
Yeah. It's like, you know, the cauliflower and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. You gotta eat.
Do you blanch it? Do you like it a little crunch or you like it soft and mushy?
You know what? I like to play around and switch it up because I cook at home a lot. So, like, you know, I don't like to have the same type of broccoli all the time.
Who does?
So I say fry it up, you know, maybe throw it in the oven with some potatoes. Nah, I don't eat potatoes. That's shit. I don't know why. I like made that up.
He just U-turned real quick. Yeah, potatoes. Nah.
Fuck potatoes. They're just like eating paper.
Have you ever had a fillet of cauliflower? Just like a cross-section cauliflower where they like make it taste like steak?
That well, I don't know if it tastes like steak, but it is
exactly
delicious.
Exactly like steak.
Have you had steak before?
No. I don't know what steak is. That actually happened. My parents were pescatorians.
Pescatorians?
Pescatorians, yeah. It's a race from Star Trek. They're pescatarians, and for like the first 7 years of my life, and we were at a barbecue, and my grandfather said, "Jack, do you want a burger or steak?" And I said, "What steak?" And everybody was like ashamed of me as a man.
I'm not.
Thank you.
I think you're super manly without
the
steak.
I knew what grouper was. So, Shannon, what is something that is underrated?
Underrated, I would say spending time alone. Underrated, you guys. You know, people think it's like boring and horrible. Yeah, I feel like people are like, I don't want to be alone. And you're like, I'm just like, you know what? Get in that mind because it's so endless.
Yeah.
I love being alone and just being like lost in my thoughts. Mm-hmm. It's so good.
That's like, when you were lost outside and we just saw you walking up and down the street in your own thoughts.
Yeah.
We actually just found you wandering our neighborhood.
And we're like, hey, you want to be on the show?
Yeah. And
it all worked out.
I was having a good-ass time, though. I was by myself, and I was like, I don't know. Usually I'd say no, but you guys are quality, so I said yes.
Do you, you have consider food. Yourself an introvert?
Yeah, I would say I'm definitely an introvert. Like, there's a lot of energy vampires out there. And so when I go to parties and stuff, I'm like, just stop sucking out my positivity. Like people come for me and I'm like, get away.
Oh,
this
really?
Is precious energy.
You're like, can you believe? You're like, no, I can't believe whatever you're about to complain about.
Yeah, so I'm like, shut up, okay? I don't care about you.
I feel like a lot of people who say like, I hate being alone, those are typically, you have very chaotic minds. So it's very difficult to just sort of sit there without being like, oh, am I going to have to address something in my mind? I don't know. Yeah, I'm also like an only child, so I'm like wired to always be alone.
Oh, yeah.
And I need it. It's like restorative for me to be
Same.
Alone.
I just think it's so good. But I also think the people who are afraid of being alone are the people who need it the most, because I think you need to sit with your thoughts and just kind of work out what's coming up.
Yeah.
Because if not, it comes out in weird ways around other people. Mm-hmm. And then you're not even listening to yourself. You're just kind of taking suggestions from the outside world, and you're just mostly reactive instead of like...
Right.
Living from the inside.
Yeah. Yeah.
Going outward.
Being an extrovert does seem like it would be easier in the world that we have set up. Like,
right.
Because you could just be like, yeah, I'm jamming this train right now. I'm pulling energy from all these people. Woo!
Right.
Instead, I'm like, oh, God, you guys are really zapping my vibe.
Right. What's something you think is overrated?
Overrated, I'm going to say going out to eat.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it costs too much. I barely ever enjoy the experience of eating out. Like, I feel like customer service is not like that great. And the food they give you at places, unless you're really going to like a really like special restaurant or like some kind of like specialty food, I feel like it's not worth it. It's just kind of like, hey, make that stuff at home. Save that money.
Mm. You know how to make tiki tenders from islands at home? I don't.
That would be a specialty restaurant, okay?
Yeah. Oh, that's a special. Oh, okay. I'm glad we're
all thinking islands.
That islands.
That specialty restaurant.
And I don't know how, if islands is all over the U.S., but let me tell you, the cheddar fries.
Yeah, and the other good thing about eating at home is you can control what goes into your food.
Whereas
I feel like at restaurant, like at steakhouses, their secret to making their steak so good is
Stop
they
lying. You
butter
never been
their
in those
steak.
House.
Huh?
Never been in a
I've never been to a steak.
Out of these
yeah, steakhouses, yeah. I believe they're called.
The way they steak the meat, it's so good.
No, but they butter their steaks. It's like, yeah,
oh,
that,
yeah,
that
you
would
have
taste
to.
They definitely
good,
do.
Man.
You have to.
But
no doubt.
It's
there's something nice
so
about
bad.
Seeing your food and knowing how it was cooked and
yeah.
like watching everything, what happened to it and who touched it. You're like,
yeah.
I touched it.
You gotta baste your steak in butter, though. That's just
Do
the
you?
Key. Oh, my Damn. Goodness. Letting that butter cook it on the outside.
I was
Don't eat too child. Much steak, you guys.
No, I just eat butter.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm not doing
up.
That well where I can eat steak
yeah,
with
like,
my
come
butter.
On now.
I just eat my butter straight.
I advocate for not buttering, but salting your steak. Put that on the grill. It's just as good.
Okay,
as,
great.
As buttering it.
Meat tips from
meat
us
tips
to you.
Meat tips from
a man
a
who didn't know what steak was.
Yeah, a man who didn't know what steak was. All right, we're trying to take a sample of what people are thinking and talking about right now. And the way we like to open up is by asking Shannon, what is a myth? What is something that people think is true out there at the moment that you know to be false?
I'm going to say I think it's a myth that being humble is good.
Yeah.
Okay. And okay. Listen, this comes from someone who is very humble, almost to a fault. So I feel like... lately I've been trying to, you know, like pump myself up and like just naturally I'll be, I've been doing a lot of creative projects with other people and collaborating and I'll say something like, yeah, of course it's going to be funny. Like I've never written something that wasn't funny and someone will be like,
Quincy Jones
oh
over here?
Damn, what's going on over here? And I'm like, well, I mean, I just like, I'm an old ass woman.
Honest.
Yeah. Like yeah. I know what I can do.
Right.
But I think it's,
you're not old.
Yeah.
Guys, I am really old for those of you who haven't seen me in person.
Yeah. I mean. Mid-60s like, is yeah. the new
yeah.
30, though.
Hey,
so.
But when you got
it's
that
true,
neck,
it's
when the, when, yeah, it's like Melisandre in Game of Thrones.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I moisturize yeah. my neck, so you can't really tell.
Yeah.
yeah.
Look a little look like.
But I think that, you know, people should be humble in a way that, like, you know, don't be a cocky asshole and, like, treat people poorly. But at the end of the day, if you don't, you know, if you don't, like, share your accomplishments and your strengths, no one's going to know about them. And you're not going to, I mean... Just accomplishing things isn't enough, honestly, because I've worked so many jobs where I see people, and myself included, like we spend 100% of our time working hard and making accomplishments and achieving the goals that, you know, we want to achieve. And the people who just like do half of that and spend the other half of the time being like, look what I did.
Right.
They get what they want.
Yeah.
So I think like work hard, be good, but also like, you know, toot your own horn and be like, hey, guys, check me out. I'm
yeah,
fucking
let
dope.
Them know.
I think
know.
That's really good advice. We were talking on an episode earlier this week about the Dunning-Kruger effect and how people who are very good at their job know all the things that they don't know or all the things that they do badly about their job, and so therefore they are more humble than people who just don't know shit about how to do the job and come in and they're like, yeah, I'm fucking nailing this. So I agree. People who are very good at their job like you are probably too humble in general. And then it's just that rare talented person who also is a megalomaniac like Kanye, who breaks through and has like unprecedented success because he has both things. He knows he's good and he actually is good. So yeah, and it's much easier to force the knowing you're good than it is to force the being good. So
yeah, that's true.
Talented people out there, tell the world.
Just believe, you know, and also don't, there's actually someone on Twitter who tweeted at me this morning who said they were thinking about imposter syndrome because we were talking about it and how they were sort of like a little hesitant to go out there and share their talents because they see other people maybe being more vocal or better than themselves. And, you know, to that, I just as creative people, it's very easy to look at someone else and be like, oh, man, I'm not on that level. But that's not what it's about. Like, you can't live comparatively in that, especially with creativity. Like, that is something unique to just you and only you. So just focus on being the best version of you.
Right.
And ain't nobody going to touch you because nobody can be you, just like you can't be the person you think you can't be. Of course not.
Yeah.
But you can be you and you can do you. So take that, beloved.
Beautiful.
Yanla, save my life.
All right, let us get into the
Trump
gun response. Trump Free
Thursday!
Trump Free Thursday.
Yeah. Ooh. Trump Free Thursday.
Wait, what is your
All right, we need to get that clean.
Yeah,
exactly. That is beautiful. That needs to be our
Thank
Trump Free Thursday
I'm just
going to
come here singing all day.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, remind us after the show, we're going to record that clean.
So what can we talk about that happened yesterday? We can talk about that town hall meeting.
Yes.
Because he who must not be named was not at that. But Senator Marco Rubio was, as was Dana Loesch. We predicted that this was going to be interesting on yesterday's episode because why was the NRA coming out so spicy, like just sending their most over-the-top like spokes model crazy person to this event? And she did not disappoint. She was, you know, respectful of the fact that they had just experienced a tragedy, but then you know,
she did a lot of dancing and squirming and pivoting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, actually she did disappoint last night, and then this morning she came out and was like, these liberals. She gave a speech this morning that was very angry and talked about how people screamed burn her at the town hall.
Yeah, which, because what she thinks all these teenagers are like people from the Salem witch trials.
Yeah, yeah.
Like burn her.
Who
under the age of 70 would be like, burn her?
Right.
You'd be like, fuck this bitch.
Yeah.
Or whatever. Right. That's how, you know, that's, you know,
like,
I'm not,
delete her Twitter.
Yeah, right. Or whatever. But yeah, burn her? Like, come on. You got angry ass teenagers. They don't talk. I said we, like, as if I'm a teen. I'm 33 years
You're
old.
Teen in your heart.
Miles is a cool teen.
I'm a cool teen, y'all. That's why I'm going undercover in high school.
You can't tell. Shannon is 65 and Miles, cool teen.
Cool teen.
He's skateboarding right now.
Yeah. I sit on a throne of skateboards with my backwards hat and spinny hat on the top. But, yeah, she was a little disappointing in that, like, yeah, we thought she was going to bring that energy to the town hall of, like, puffing her chest out. But I think she realized with the way Marco Rubio, when he took the stage, they were clearly not in friendly territory at oil. So do you want to throw that clip first?
Yeah, let's listen to some
bites. Yeah, this is Marco Rubio first talking. This is when a student put his fucking feet to the fire. And, yo, shout out to these kids, though, because they really are inspiring.
I love these kids.
Yeah, because when I was in high school, we were not very politically active. But, yes, this is a student talking with Marco Rubio.
Senator Rubio, it's hard to look at you and not look down the barrel of an AR-15 and not look at Nicholas Cruz. But the point is, you're here, and there are some people who are not. This isn't about red and blue. We can't boo people because they're Democrats and boo people because they're Republicans. Anyone who's willing to show change, no matter where they're from, anybody who's willing to start to make a difference is somebody we need on our side here. And this is about people who are for making a difference to save us and people who are against it and prefer money. So, Senator Rubio, can you tell me right now that you will not accept a single donation from the NRA in the future?
Whoop!
Yes. Right? Yeah. That's cool.
For sure.
All right, moving on.
Is that the team's like?
I mean, it's open.
I could have asked the NRA lady a question. I wish the NRA lady I could have talked to, because I would ask her how she can look in the mirror, considering the fact that she has children, but, you know, maybe she avoids
those.
What
is that? I'm sorry.
I don't freaking know.
That's okay.
Oh, you taking shots at me?
About NRA money. I will answer any questions you guys have about any policy.
Right now, guys, be quiet. You know.
And I just think that ultimately that is not our goal here. Our goal here is to move forward.
Wait, so hold on.
So right now, in the name
of 17 people, you cannot ask the NRA to keep their money out of your campaign.
I think in the name of 17 people, I can pledge to you that I will support any law that will prevent a killer like this.
No, but I'm talking NRA money.
This is a teenager.
Matter of fact, I bet we can get people in here to give you exactly as much money as NRA would have.
But it's not. I understand. And you're right.
Can you stand up and donate to that real quick?
Ooh.
So that was a hard question. So, like, usually they don't get to keep the microphone. And be like, you're not answering the question. And so his like little pivot there did not work.
Which is crazy because journalists, you could take note. I mean, look, it looks aggressive, but you have to, especially for an issue like this and people want to squirm and like not answer a question directly because they can't bite the hand that feeds them. I'm just glad this kid did it. And that's with teenagers. What'd you expect? Like
now, could his opener have used a little work?
Yeah, what was that like?
The thing about it's hard to look at you and not look down the barrel of an AK-47 or whatever, that didn't really make sense, my man. But, like, that's all right because he then went on to ask a very clear and cogent question.
Which Rubio could not.
Could not answer.
He looks sort of shocked.
I'll tell you what I can guarantee you is I'll support
Are you drinking again, Marco? It's like when he's talking to his stepdad with a drinking problem. Like,
right.
Man, what's going on? Because my mom's not going to confront you.
Your mom, Marco.
Why was there that beer can in your car?
Should not have been looking through my
Fuck
car.
Fuck you, Marco! Shout outs to them. I think, again, it's very interesting to see him say, can you tell them in the name of 17 dead people, will you reject the money of the NRA? And he later on went on to say, he's like, you know, people buy into my agenda. He said that.
He said people buy into my agenda.
Are you just that
bad at talking like a human being that you can't avoid saying people buy into my agenda? There was also a moment where he accidentally like gave them something that people were fond of where he was like, then you'd have to outright ban assault weapons.
Right,
like,
and the crowd erupted.
Right.
And then he looks confused. He's like, oh, y'all want that?
Like, he doesn't get it. We haven't been clear enough.
Right. He threw it out there like it was a joke. Like, if we do that, we might as well ban all assault
weapons.
Like, that's what we want. He thought that was going to be like the equivalent of like, and what are we going to do? Marry our dogs next?
Exactly.
And we were like, yes, we do want to marry our dogs.
Yes, motherfucker.
Yeah. Because then he was like talking about it. He's like, well, then there's 200 guns, like at least, that we'd have to get rid of. And they're like, yeah.
Yeah, what's your
point? And he's like, but then there's like 2,000 other ones that also define how do we do that? Anyway, that was also, I think, part of a question that came after a father of a child who was killed at the high school had a question for him. And this guy also brought the heat for Marco Rubio.
Your comments this week and those of our president have been pathetically weak.
Ooh. Damn.
Yeah, hold that.
I guess shouts out to Marco Rubio for actually showing up and just getting people to talk. Like,
I mean, at least he earned that money.
You and I are now eye to eye because I want to like you. Look at me and tell me guns were the factor in the hunting of our kids in this school this week. And look at me and tell me you accept it and you will work with us to do something about guns. Fred,
can I call you Fred?
I'm not. First of all, let me explain what I said this week and I'll repeat it. I'll repeat what I said.
Because it seems like you liked it.
And then I'm going to tell you what we're going to do. We're going to talk about guns. And we're going to talk about what I said this week. And here's what I said. I said that the problems that we are facing...
Let him speak. I think we need to hear it.
I'm saying that the problems that we're facing here today cannot be solved by gun laws alone. And I'm going to tell you what we've done already and what I hope we'll do moving forward.
Were guns the factor?
There you go.
Absolutely.
Hunting
of course they were. Now, I think what you're asking about is the assault weapons ban.
Yes, sir.
So let me be honest with you about that one. If I believed that law would have prevented this from happening, I would support it. But I want to explain to you why it would not.
He looks shocked here, too. He's like, oh.
Senator Rubio, my daughter, running down the hallway at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas, was shot in the back.
Yes, sir.
With an assault weapon. The weapon of choice.
Yes, sir.
Okay? It is too easy to get. It is a weapon of war. The fact that you can't stand with everybody in this building and say that, I'm sorry.
Sir, I do believe what you're saying is true.
I mean, the assault weapon ban is not really a thing that most, like, I think people go into this conversation thinking, well, you know, it's equal sides and, you know, 50% of Americans want assault weapons and 50% don't. But there was an assault weapon ban for 10 years in our country. It was when Columbine happened, but that was the only mass shooting. And like we talked about after this shooting happened, this shooting was bigger than Columbine. It just didn't seem like it because Columbine was like out of nowhere and had a shooting like that hadn't happened in a long time. And it was because weapons like this had been banned for 10 years. And there's an amazing clip from, I think it was The Daily, the New York Times podcast, where they talked about how they had a clip of Bill Clinton talking about how people who were advocating to keep assault weapons, he was like, and they say that they want they want these to go to shooting ranges to fire them. And I think they need to get a new hobby. Like, they need to read a good book or something. Oh. Like, he was like, and everybody laughed at it.
Right.
I'm like, that is, like, people were like, yeah, fuck these people who want to take AR-15s to shooting ranges over, like, the safety of people.
Right.
And yeah, when this assault weapon ban went into effect, 70% of Americans were in favor of it. And then when it lapsed, because politicians didn't keep it going, didn't do the work because they were being, you know, funded by the NRA, still 60-something percent of people wanted it. It's just harder to get people to give a shit about a thing that is preventing things from happening when they haven't happened for 10 years, I
right.
guess. So, I don't know. It's a, I don't think it's as controversial as you would think, based on the fact that, like, the NRA is out here putting out such a strong message. You would assume that, you know, they speak for a big chunk of Americans. And they're a minority, a pretty small but super vocal minority.
Yeah.
Yeah, it sucks that people's hobbies are like, I want to shoot guns. And I get that, you know, like, I've seen so many videos where people are like, it's really fun, I want my gun.
Right.
But I'm just like, can we... I do think there needs to be, like, more places where people can express their rage. So I wish that there was, like rage cage places. Like, you know those places where you go and you, like,
shit
smash
out of something with a bat.
Plates?
Yeah, right.
Like, there should be, like, spots, like, everywhere, easily accessible, cheap, where you can go and, within the safety with a professional, go shoot off a gun for fun.
Yeah.
Or go break some plates. Go punch some dummies. Something like that, that's like, let's use your hobby without having all these guns out there
right.
that children have access
you
to.
You want a CCC, a community catharsis center.
Yes, exactly.
For people to get their anger. I mean,
and
personally,
therapy.
Like, I've shot guns a lot, and I really do enjoy shooting guns. For me, there hasn't been like there's not a catharsis about it. I think it's because I grew up inundated with images of guns and shit that I just, like, began to, like, romanticize, like, the idea of shooting guns. But I think there's a difference between being able to shoot a gun or hunt and then being like saying like, oh, I have a right to like a military style gun. Sure. That's like for you to just kind of feel good that like, yo, I got that gun from this thing or whatever.
Yeah.
But like, I think the idea of an assault weapons ban, it shouldn't be that controversial because like, bro, we're not saying you can't hunt or do this other shit that you're saying is part of the American culture. But do you have a right to have the same shit that the military does?
No.
Even if it is semi-automatic, and I know a lot of people want it, like, especially on the NRA, it's like, well, the AR-15 is like, it's not the M4 because it's not fully automatic. Look,
God.
Let's be real.
Yeah.
Like, you don't need that gun to be a hobby shooter. You know
yeah.
what I mean?
And right. you also, if you need that gun to hunt, then you're a horrible hunter and you should find another hobby. Like, maybe
right.
like knitting or something that's
right.
more your speed.
Don't want to, like, blow the leg off the deer. Like, that's not
yeah.
the point.
Well, I only need the head.
Right.
To hang up on my wall.
Right. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. And we're back. And actually, I'm just seeing results from a more recent poll. So apparently the public opinion has shifted, and it is now 50-50 that 51% of people support a prohibition on assault weapons and 46% oppose that ban. So it's closer to 50-50 than it was back at the end of the assault weapon ban. And, you know, it's been politicized and, you know, also people know that the government is going to come for them and they have to be able to defend their family against the police state when Obama right. takes back over and comes for them. And
well, he
family.
Already has, brother.
Right.
The shadow government is in exactly. full force. So.
hey, so the NRA, they have some interesting ideas. And one of those ideas is, so they have been fighting for a long time to have this mascot, Eddie the Eagle, the NRA's gun safety mascot. He's just a giant cartoon bird. They want him to be basically the only thing that is used to stop children from playing with guns.
That makes sense because, look, gun control is out of the question.
Right.
So let me do you one better. I'll make a cartoon character that will put the responsibility on children to be safe around guns and not on fucking adults who have them around guns.
Right.
I don't, yeah. It's crazy to think that this was a solution that they put forward, but it right. makes sense because the solution is always anything but gun control.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So this designer who designed Eddie the Eagle took the assignment, thought, you know, this is a fun thing that can convey a message about gun safety. And then she found out that the NRA was arguing that Eddie the Eagle is a superior alternative to negligent storage legislation or laws meant to punish adults when children shoot themselves or someone else with an unsecured gun. So, yeah, it's like assuming sexual harassment will be stopped because of Pepe Le Pew and not sexual harassment laws. And here, I think we have some samples from some yeah. of Eddie the Eagle.
So this is the earlier version from the 90s when Jason Priestley,
the man.
Legitimately Jason Priestley is in this video interacting with Eddie the Eagle. But this is the rap that Eddie the Eagle says. So when you kids find a gun, you know what to do.
And then behind the broom, I saw a gun. At just that moment, the kids saw it too. I didn't wait. I knew what to do.
Drop the beat.
Stop! Don't touch! I'm Eddie Eagle, and I like you too much to see you get hurt, and that's why I say if you spot a gun, just walk away! Go find an adult, go tell him what you found. Guns shouldn't be left lying around. Yeah, stop! Don't touch! Leave the area, tell an adult. Do it with me now,
nice run.
Don't touch! Leave the area, tell an adult. Talk it over with a grown-up you trust. Stop!
Don't touch!
Leave the area. Tell an adult.
Thank you, Jason.
Good rhyming.
I said stop. Don't touch.
Leave the area. Tell an adult.
An adult you trust, which honestly, I don't trust any adults right now. So who are we going to go to?
I'm going to run to other teams. Wait till Monday till you go to school and tell your PE teacher that's really cool.
Nope, that rhymed.
Yeah,
that would not have worked.
Man, they should have tapped me to do that. But yeah, it's such a bizarre thing because, like, the situation is, like, kids playing in an attic and then they're like, whoa, what's this old fucking, like, rifle doing here? But I don't know, like, I guess it's a weird thing to, like, also, like, normalize guns for kids, too, that, like, yeah, this shit just might be around, kids.
Right.
So,
yeah.
So you know what to do.
Kids, it's America. You're gonna find some loaded, unsecured guns laying around the house. Just,
yeah.
This is what to do. It's on you to not shoot yourself and your friends.
Have you ever had a friend who was like, hey, you want to come over and see my dad's gun? Did you ever grow up having that?
No.
No?
No, that's never happened to me.
All right, never mind.
Wait, so it happened to you?
No, no, not like
just
that.
Invite us over to see his dad's
gun.
No,
yeah, anyway, but yeah, my dad has a really cool gun. No, it's just, no, because I think, because that's always like a situation like you hear about. That, like, I remember kids would talk about like, yo, my uncle has a gun. Because in California, not everyone had a gun. But who is in that situation? I guess it's a very small number of kids who are like actually going to be like, wait, stop, don't touch,
right?
Leave
yeah.
the area, tell an adult.
Thinking about my childhood now, I feel like I should have been a person who found a gun because all of my neighbors, like especially during the holidays or on birthdays, they would shoot guns like into the lawn or in the sky, and it was like a big deal, and people were constantly dying. like during the holidays because from of like stray bullets.
Down. Yeah.
So I'm
really?
Like, oh, I am. Yeah. Like every like.
Where'd you grow up?
Puerto Rico.
Okay.
In Bayamón. And they like, yeah, like that's how you, there were less firecrackers and more gunshots.
Right, right, right.
Interesting.
Which I'm just like, wow. I didn't think, like, I don't know. I never saw anybody be let's find it, you know?
Yeah. It's funny. I remember during like the holidays, there would be billboards in LA that was like a child and it had a poem that says, when you shoot bullets in the sky, when they come down, I might die. And I remember being a kid and being like, yo, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah.
Because I know in certain areas, yeah, like people will just clap guns off for like just to set it off and have a good time. But yeah, that's true. Like I didn't realize that it would be so prevalent that like it was a huge problem. And that was like an eye-opening thing for me as a kid because I didn't have any legal. It's just a sad thing because this is the response to like kids shooting, being near guns or loose guns. That this is their answer to it constantly. Like they had to revamp this, I think, in a response to another child who had shot another child because a gun was lying around the house.
Yeah. So, no, it happens constantly.
Yeah. I also don't get it because their whole thing is like, if you put in laws against guns, people are still going to get guns on the black market. And it's like, if you tell kids to stop, don't touch and run away from a gun, they're still going to grope the gun, shoot their friend, and then hide in a closet and cry until their parents find them.
Yeah, it's anyway, so I guess it's a fitting way for the NRA to handle a very serious problem is to really not do anything in a very insulting way.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Cool.
Yay, lives don't matter.
So, now that we've established that lives don't matter, let's move on to...
your favorite conspiracy.
My favorite conspiracy theory. So, there's a story that diplomats in Cuba were being attacked by a sound ray... a weapon that was like firing noise into their ears. And, you know, this all of a sudden became a big issue when Trump took over because he wanted to roll back Obama's progress with, you know, Cuba diplomacy. So they have like pulled most of their diplomats out of Cuba at this point. And ProPublica just did a long story where they basically did a deep dive, reveal all the details of like how the attacks, quote unquote, happened. And it only supports my initial suspicion that it's a sort of mass hysteria event. That was my conspiracy theory music that you just heard kind of starting there. So the weird things that this report reveals are that a lot of the different, quote, attacks are different types of sound. And they happen in completely different circumstances.
Wait, what do you mean that the attacks are different kinds of sounds?
So one person describes it as at first they think it's cicadas in their backyard.
Right.
And then they have another diplomat over and he's like, yeah, I guess those are cicadas. And the other diplomat's like, those are no cicadas. They're too mechanical sounding. They actually recorded the sound and sent it to an insect expert. He was like, yeah, it's probably cicadas. But so they... we're like, that's so mysterious. These cicadas aren't cicadas. But you know, cicadas are like kind of high pitched, like sort of screeching sounds. A lot of the other sounds have been described as the sound of like a subwoofer at a concert where it like makes your chest sort of vibrate a little bit. And the Canadian diplomats, it spread to the Canadian diplomats. They described it as like a twanging metal sheet. Which are all different sounds. These two diplomats who supposedly heard it in their backyard and were attacked in their backyard by this sound. You know, that was one circumstance. Another guy claims he was in a hotel when he like woke up and the beam of sound was like being fired into his ears and like he had to like move to get away from it. So they say it's like a fire hose of noise that like you can like get away from by just moving your head in some circumstances, which is weird. And when you hear like how the information spread, it's like those people who had the cicada experience heard from another guy who was like, yeah, I was just attacked by sound. And so then they were, that made them suspicious that this cicada sound was a noise attack from like the Russians or the Cubans. And then that like rumor starts spreading around the office and they get like this mass panic on their hands. It just, it has all the hallmarks of a mass hysteria, but I do think that I don't think people are just completely making up the fact that there are like weird sounds that they're hearing. And so the New York Times just released this story. They didn't mention the Cuba story, but it was about this thing called the Windsor hum, which is a mysterious sound that's causing weird health effects in people in Windsor, Canada, right across the river from Detroit. And the way that they describe the sound is all very similar. They call it a fire hose of noise, again, like almost identical. They say it sounds like when you're driving a car and the back window is open, you know, that like, whoa, whoa, whoa.
That's sound. Dubstep.
Yeah, dubstep. Exactly.
You're blasting that Skrillex.
Like, you know when the dubstep's about to drop? And so it just like sounds like it's basically the same thing. And at Cracked, we wrote about this stuff called infrasound that they've found is usually the explanation for ghost sightings and people like thinking something is haunted, is you basically put a receiver in those places where people are like, yeah, I'm just overtaken by a feeling of dread and I like start seeing dark figures or whatever. And there's usually a 18 hertz, it's like a lower than the human ear can actually hear, sound wave thing going on. And so I'm not saying like that's necessarily what's going on here, but it feels like there, you know, sound does weird things and it goes in like weird directions. And in the case of this Windsor hum, like nobody can tell like where it's coming from, but it's like it'll hit one house on a block and then not the house next door. And it'll like start and stop at weird times. And like nobody can really tell what's going on. It just sounds like it's basically the same thing as the Havana thing. And the only difference is that in Havana, the diplomats think they're being attacked by like a foreign government.
What's the explanation for the Windsor hum, though?
Nobody can tell. So, I mean, so they think it might be this factory that's like in Detroit, and that like Detroit is just like sending the sound towards Windsor because
they're like, fuck you, Windsor.
Yeah, because they don't have to deal with it. They don't want to have to deal with it. But yeah, there's no, like, nobody can totally find where it's coming from because it's not really perceptible to the naked ear. Like, and you almost like feel it in your chest more than anything.
That sounds like a nightmare.
Yeah, it does sound really uncomfortable. And so like when I say that the diplomats are suffering from mass hysteria, I don't think they're just completely making up that they're like experiencing something weird, but I just don't think it's a targeted attack by an enemy nation. And in fact, like all the international relations, like experts and diplomats and stuff are like, this makes no sense. Like, no, Cuba has no reason to do this. Russia has no reason to do this. Like, it just doesn't.
And there's
make
like, there's
anything.
No technology that would explain.
And there's
this
no
either,
technology
that you could
that,
do that.
Right.
Weren't they saying that like some of the people who were in Havana like did have some kind of like physical, like their brain was it changed in some
way
physically?
The first guy who basically kicked it off because he was like, yeah, I had a loud sound and he recorded it and it did sound like the cicadas that the people had heard in their backyard. He had like physical like damage to the small bones inside his ear. And so they were like, yeah, that there must be some attack going on here. But another doctor who examined said that it could be previous injuries. It could be, you know, a lot of the things that they're complaining about could be caused by, you know, viral infections and stuff. So,
okay. So don't go to Windsor, Canada, and don't go to Havana.
Yeah,
I guess.
Basically, I guess.
I want to go to Havana now.
Find out. Yeah, this is experience it. This has been since the beginning of the show. Your life's passion is to figure out this embassy hum,
right?
And I feel like the only way we can really get to the bottom of this, Jack, is you go down there
mm-hmm.
and you see just for yourself, hear it for yourself.
Walking around Havana with like one of those like little
like a parabolic
dish.
Microphone.
Yeah, parabolic.
Like, okay, what am I hearing? What am I hearing? What am I hearing?
This reminds me of like when I went to my friend's parents' house, their cable box had this like high pitched like sound and they could not hear it and it drove us crazy. Like I couldn't be in their living room and that's where they spent most of their
time.
When
you say us, it was
like me and my friend, like we were like at that time probably like in our mid 20s, so our ears were, you know, nice and fresh.
Mm. Right.
But like it was killing us and like they were like, We don't know what are you
Because they probably lost those frequencies in their hearing range.
Yeah, no, we actually did a test in the studio back when we were at the WeWork.
Oh, yeah. Wasn't it with Lacey?
Yeah, it was. Lacey was in, and Lacey, I think, was the only one who heard it, or maybe you heard it, too.
I did not hear it.
Yeah, Miles and I...
too many live shows.
Yeah, we'd been through too many loud sounds, but Lacey Mosley...
she had the ear.
Daily Zeitgeist.
I think if
Lacey
people...
Mosley
yeah,
it
could be an age thing, and just... I don't know. Look, guys, just don't get caught up in the mass hysteria. You know what I mean?
That's I mean, you're going to get caught up, just so you know.
Yeah,
right. Whether you try or not.
Like, it's happening.
So little by little, we're all getting taken down.
Because the Trump administration wants to do the opposite of diplomacy in all cases and wants to believe that there's like a hostile power trying to take them out, they have responded to this by being like, yo, we have to like be hostile towards Cuba.
Don't believe
they're trying to attack us. So it's just potentially the dumbest thing a very dumb administration has done is like responded to weird sounds by being like, fuck you. You want to fight us?
Yeah, like, what?
She was like, what are you talking about, man?
Like, you're making up like, technology.
In the immediate aftermath of like a great diplomatic breakthrough, they come in. They're like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Did you just touch me? Right. Like, no, man. What are you talking about?
Are you fucking tripping, man? Fuck you up. Oh, anyway, I'm sorry.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. And we're back. And we wanted to go out on something a little bit lighter. We have the very good news that the U.S. women's hockey team has won gold.
Woo! Who'd they beat?
Canada.
Canada.
Oh, shit. Right. Just dunking on Canada.
To the north.
And Canada's won, like, what, the last 3 or 4 years they won gold?
Oh, have they? Is Canada good at hockey?
I don't know. I feel the U.S. is the greatest team that ever existed in Canada sports.
Yeah. I mean, it's the same as basketball. It's like America's...
It's America's sport.
Right. anyways, but, hey, maybe Canada... You know how they have that small town where the...
Oh, shit. Don't
even sorry, I'm just trolling.
It's not a Canadians. Village. It's Ottawa, and it's the capital. And hey, shout out to the
Senators.
I called
their capital city a small town.
A town, yeah.
Yeah, it's...
Guys, it's all love.
It's Ottawa. Their capital city's river freezes over, and they all ice skate to work, and it's a beautiful, magical land. And we just beat you in women's hockey. So...
Jack, they're going to remember that when you are fleeing with your family to immigrate to Canada. They're going to be like, oh, wait, Jack O'Brien? Hold on. Oh,
let's pull up that app.
Yeah, you got some fucked up takes on this current. Get the fuck back in California, you sick piece of shit. Anyway, yes, but that happened. But also, let's really talk about the real news, okay?
Right.
Peeps. You like peeps?
I don't mind them. I wouldn't go out of my way to find them, but you know what?
Yeah.
I'll pop them in my mouth.
I feel like for any American person around Easter time, those just... grotesque things pop up and they've announced like a bunch of new flavors, which for starters I don't like peeps at all, same as candy corn. I try it every year or like every however often I'm around. I'm like, oh, maybe it'll be different flavor this year. It's just shitty. But they have new flavors now. Hold on to your butts, because they have
my cheeks
Neapolitan flavor. They have sour cherry, pancakes and syrup.
Sour cherry might actually be good. My problem with it is just that it's so dull, pouring like white sugar into your mouth. Like it's just like the taste of sugar and nothing else.
Right.
So if you give me a little sour, you give me a little something, I might be into it.
And they also have orange sherbet, lemon sherbet, and three mystery flavors, which
fuck
I don't
you
know.
You know that's like matcha. Green tea.
Yeah, you think so? But that would be insane if peeps were like, oh, like now we have green tea. We're woke.
Yeah,
we're
I think they are. They're going to be like woke peeps, a new thing.
I feel like, I just can't. Marshmallows in general don't really appeal to me unless it's in my hot cocoa.
Hot cocoa, yeah.
But
I was just going to say, like, when you were like, no marshmallows, I was like, this guy's never had hot cocoa.
Oh, yes. Especially the Swiss Miss with it already mixed in for the lazy people.
So good, so good.
But again.
Or Cool Whip. Just throw a whole bunch of Cool Whip on that shit.
My God.
Sorry.
Whoa, that's wild.
I love hot cocoa.
Oh, wow. Did you have the s'mores Girl Scout cookies?
I did.
They're really good.
I haven't had those.
They are chemically delicious.
They are. They found a way to add more sugar to Girl Scout cookies. They like jammed it in there, and it's like the sweetest cookie they've released yet. But I like it a lot.
It's pretty wild. I was sort of surprised at first. I was like, this tastes like fake everything.
Right.
And then like any good American person, you eat seven more straight, mm-hmm. one after the other, and then you just get into the motion of eating them continually, and then I devoured an entire
box.
You
woke up on your couch 3 days later.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. Blacked out with a bunch of boxes around me.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so Peeps, I don't know if people like them. I just feel like it's a thing that people either like or just fucking hate and avoid completely.
You know what's really fun is looking at a Peep and then scraping off its little chocolate eyes.
Damn.
Wow. So how were how was Easter for you?
Yeah. It was fun. It was great.
Did you celebrate Easter?
I don't know. I never really like celebrated any holidays. Like we're just like hang out and eat.
Right.
Yeah, I didn't do anything like, I don't know, what do regular people do for Easter? Do they go to church?
My grandparents who are born again, praise Christ, they always wanted to do like Easter stuff. So I always did like Easter egg hunts as a kid. And I remember one year I really asked my grandparents to never buy Peeps again because they were just so upsetting. And they're like, what do you like? I only eat truffle chocolates, Grandma, because I need pure sugar all the time. I don't need marshmallows. It's a waste.
Yeah, chocolate over marshmallows any day, though, for sure.
Thank you.
Especially Peeps. Like, Peeps aren't even good marshmallows.
Well, they have chocolate-covered ones, too, now.
Oh.
I don't know if that changes anything for you. Oh, your face really changed. You're like,
yeah,
oh.
Yeah, I was like, well, maybe. Yeah, no, I mean, I'm trying not to eat too many processed things. Like, good. Peeps is so processed, so I'm trying to, you know, like...
Peeps is beyond processed.
Yeah. I'm trying to cut back that stuff, so...
So, just taking a quick trip through current Google Trends, Brendan Fraser has explained where he's been for the past decade. Turns out he both destroyed his body doing movie stunts and was groped by the ex-president of the Golden Globes. President Philip Burke sexually assaulted him in the summer of 2003. And Miles is the only person who knows who that is.
Yep.
Yikes. Yeah, my friend was just texting me about this article as I was walking in here, and I'm dying to read it. But you know what? I think it's really cool and really important for him to be sharing about his experience.
Yeah,
apparently there's
sure.
a lot of stuff in there about, you know, like keeping up in the business and having to be perfect and looking the perfect way.
Cause didn't he have a bit of like a breakdown, like mentally?
Yeah. I think like he went through something where his marriage was like, you know, falling apart, and then his looks kind of like, I guess, you know, stereotypically his looks weren't where they needed to be.
Right.
Yeah, I think it's good whenever people talk about that stuff, especially men, when men can be open about being harassed or being assaulted and having to, like, you know, their pressures of needing to look good too. Like, men need to talk about that more.
Yeah.
And the number one trending story right now.
Oh my God.
Rachel McAdams is reportedly pregnant.
Oh, thank no one.
With who? Whose baby?
It is an screenwriter, immaculate conception. Jamie Linden. So shout out to screenwriters.
Yeah.
That's great, man.
You can do it too, screenwriters.
Yeah.
You can also have children.
But this is a rumor, only a rumor. It's amazing that it made it to the top of Google Trends, but it is a rumor from Life and Style.
So. Oh, the one thing, though, I do want to point out is that Quincy Jones' daughters made him say, basically, like, shut the fuck up because you're embarrassing yourself. I do want to bring that up because everybody does love the Quincy Jones interview. But he tweeted earlier about how he was like, basically his family set him aside for a quote family intervention because he was just talking too crazy.
Mm.
So, but you know what, Quincy, I love you, homie. Do you? Because you're blessing us with nuggets from on high.
Mm. That is trending. Also, Szechuan sauce is coming back. Thank no one.
I've never had it. Is it actually good?
I have
like,
no
what's
idea.
The deal?
No clue, but.
Look, it's McDonald's version of Asian sauce, so we'll see. I mean,
yeah.
It must be good, right?
Wasn't there, like, riots last time when a McDonald's didn't have
them?
There
were a couple people got a little what's the word? Fucking crazy about it, yeah. So now, but it's weird, then they released a podcast to, like, explain why. It's real tongue-in-cheek. I mean, all right, McDonald's.
All right, and that's going to do it for today. Shannon, it has been a pleasure having you on
Thank
our podcast,
you.
As
Thanks
always.
For having me.
Where can people find you, follow you?
Why don't you follow me on Twitter? Coffees, C-O-F-F-E-Y-S.
Coffees?
Yeah.
All right. Miles, where can people find you, follow you?
You can find me and follow me on Twitter and Instagram at M-I-L-E-S-O-F-G-R-A-Y. Miles McRae.
You can find me on Twitter at @Jack_O'Brien. You can follow us at Daily Zeitgeist on Twitter. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page. We have a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes.
Footnotes.
We link off to the sources for the information that we gave you in each episode. And that's going to do it for today. Miles, do you have any songs you'd like us to ride out on?
You know, because we're just a couple of American guys and women having a good time. I just want to play a great rap song from a funny group called Shark Tank out in Canada called Out for a Rip, you know, because that's what the homies are doing up in Canada, just going out for a rip.
Just going out for a rip, eh?
Yeah. So I actually kind of fuck with your feet. It's pretty good for a joke rap song. So let's go out with Out for a Rip.
And we will ride out on that and be back tomorrow because it is a daily podcast. Talk to you guys then. Bye.
I'm from the great white north, right? Like up above the state.
Yeah.
The big landmass that the rest of the world hates.
Fuck yeah.
We're like above that. Fucking north, I guess. The big patch of trees where everybody's bored to death. We're just chilling up here, sipping syrup, playing hockey. Before we learn to walk, we can cross-check properly. Just rocking plaid jackets. Chainsaws, we operate them right.
Fucking A-right we do, bud.
We cut our weight in firewood. Every 20 minutes or so.
Smoke break.
And if the Leafs make the playoffs, I'll fucking jump in the lake. Fucking buddy comes over to my place the other night, and he's like,
you wanna go out for a rip?
And I was like, fucking right.
Yeah.
So we hop in the truck and hit the mud, and I was like,
oh, fuck yeah, bud.
Just out for a rip, are you, bud? Just out for a rip. Just out for a rip, are you, bud? Just out for a rip. Just out for a rip, are you, bud? Just out for a rip. Just out for a rip, are you, bud? Just out for a rip.
I come from the land of the polite, where shit's covered in ice. And when I'm down in the States, they're like,
you're too fucking nice.
Like, yeah, we got manners, but fucking buddies still fight and fucking swear and fucking drink all night. Like this one time, me and fucking buddy are out having a dart, and fucking buddy burns a hole in my coat. And I was like, fuck, bud, because the coat was pretty new, right? And he's like, fuck you. So I put his head in a snowbank and just started fucking feeding him the right left. Like fucking boom, boom, boom. Got enough yet? And he's like, okay, okay, fuck, chill out, shit. So I pulled him out of the snow and we went out for a rip.
Yeah.
Just out for a rip, are you,
fuck, fuck yeah.
Just out for a rip.
Fucking right.
Just out for a rip, are you,
fuck, fuck yeah.
Just out for a rip.
Fucking right.
Just out for a rip, are you,
fuck, fuck yeah.
Just out for a rip.
Fucking right.
Just out for a rip, are you,
fuck yeah.
Just out for a rip.
Fucking right.